The title of my offertory today is All In. And some of you may already catch that reference. It is a reference to high-stakes poker. And in that game of high-stakes poker, placing bets is a game in itself, layered on top of the poker game of the cards. With the betting, there is a progression, especially in the game style of Texas Hold'em poker, that goes through a series of stages. There's the pre-flop and the flop and the river. I don't claim to understand any of those stages, but I do know that at each one of those stages, the players have an opportunity to place their bets. In the most dramatic moment of betting in the game, one of the players may, in bold confidence, decide that he or she has a good hand and thinks that they can win it all. And they will declare that they are all in. And when doing so, that bettor will take all of the chips that are in front of him, and he will push them to the center, to the pot, and put it all on the line. Others at the table will have to do the same, going all in themselves or choosing to fold. This particular moment is one of the most dramatic, as I mentioned, because everything is on the line. Winning means winning big, and losing means going home with nothing. Going all in is an expression of unwavering commitment from which there is no turning back. It also shows the willingness to put what we value on the line when we go all in on whatever it might be, metaphorically. The parallels that we see in Christianity as we answer our call to become converted Christians, I think they should be pretty obvious. We commit ourselves to God, and we don't turn back. That's the way we answer our call. But there's more to this commitment as well. Not only are we showing that we are willing to go all in with converting our lives, learning to be obedient, but we also must be willing to put some skin in the game. What do I mean by that? Well, what I mean is that we take what we value and place it into God's hands, having faith that He will honor our commitment and our offering. The commitment that we make and the offering that we bring to God on this Holy Day of Atonement should be a representation of the commitment that we have made in our lives as we look forward to the final fulfillment of being members in God's family. That's a commitment that requires not turning back, not even thinking about going in the other direction. Staying out of the world that we are called to come out of. Well, let's begin with an example. This is not... I'll just go ahead and have you turn with me to Acts 5, and I'd like to read verses 1 through 11. This is an example, a counterexample, actually, of Ananias and Sapphira, who were stepping close to that line of commitment, but not really committing themselves in practice when it came down to offering what they would. So let's go ahead and read the story. Acts 5, beginning in verse 1. But a certain man named Ananias, and with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who had heard these things. And the young man arose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him. Now, it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened, and Peter answered her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." She said, "Yes, for so much." Then Peter said to her, "How is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out." Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. In this example, Ananias and Sapphira held back some of their offerings for themselves. They chose to do it. They knew exactly what they were doing. They wanted to be committed. They were even, you know, part of this thriving church. They committed to selling their land. That's a big step, but it was not a step far enough. They knew what the right direction was, but they still held back a little bit. They hesitated. They still kept one foot in the world, so to speak. They weren't willing to fully give what they had said they would. And what motivated this? Well, they may have felt entitled to some of the proceeds of what they had sold being theirs. That is certainly a worldly type of perspective to have. And in doing that, their offering became corrupted. Not because of the amount that they had to offer wasn't generous enough. I'm sure that selling a property was quite generous, even if it was just part. But they lied about it. They said that they were going to give all, and they did not. When we give our offering to God, we need to consider whether it is an accurate representation of our commitment. Ananias and Sapphira, on the surface, appeared that they were committing their lives to God and to the church and that way of life. But in practice, they held back. We need to look at this example and make sure that we are not holding back. Let's go to Luke 14, verses 28 through 33. Luke 14 and beginning in verse 28. "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." If you are not all in, Jesus Christ is saying, you cannot be my disciple. When Jesus was attracting followers, there were many people who were captivated by what he taught. They wanted to follow him. They said, "This sounds great. I like this. I'm going to maybe keep this as a pocket philosophy or something, a pocket religion." They didn't really understand that it requires being all in. Those people expressed their desire to follow, but most of them were not actually willing to commit, knowing what it actually took. They wanted to have their cake and eat it too, so to speak, to live their lives according to whatever's convenient to them, but still be counted as a disciple so that they can receive the benefits that Jesus Christ talked about. They didn't realize they could not have it two ways. And so we see this admonition to really consider what it takes. And this is something that we do as we approach baptism and as we continue in our commitment and our conversion. We really do look at a full commitment to God as our conversion. So we apply that principle when we are called and begin our journey as Christians, being willing to follow Jesus Christ and obey his commandments. And we count the cost of our commitment, don't we? We make a choice to give back to God just a portion of what he gives to us in tithes and in offerings, as we will do today. When we prepare our offering, God does not ask us to make an offering that inflicts damage upon our lives. He's not asking us to go and, you know, mortgage our homes so that we can give an offering on atonement. But he does look at our hearts when we give to see how much we are willing to contribute. Are we going all in our commitment? And are we showing that in our offerings? Continuing in Luke, and I'll turn over to chapter 21 and read verses 1 through 4. Luke 21 and verse 1. Speaking of Jesus here. And he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in 2 mites. And he said, truly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all, for all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood she had. Talk about being all in. The amount wasn't big, as we see here. The mites were a very small amount of money, but this is something that pleased God. This woman only had a little bit to give, but she gave it all. She counted the cost in her life and decided that this would be the best way that she could use the money that she had. Her commitment, as we can see here, was unwavering. Her commitment was full. And Jesus Christ recognized that at that time, and we now have it as a lesson for us as we prepare our offerings. On this Day of Atonement, we demonstrate to God our willingness to commit to him by physically refraining from eating and drinking. In that way, we go all in, don't we? We don't say, I'm just going to have a little sip of water, or I just feel like having a little snack. We are all in as we observe this day. We humble ourselves before God in that way, making an appeal to his mercy upon our lives. I'm sure we'll hear more about that in the sermon today. As we prepare our offering today to give to God, let's make sure that it abundantly reflects our commitment to him, this way of life, and our love for the truth that he gives to us.